God and to worship Him and show our adoration for Him. And as has been mentioned, we have several here tonight who are visiting with us, and the privilege that you're here to honor God as well. And we pray that your experience among us tonight will bring you closer to Him, help you understand something about His will a little bit better, and help you draw closer to Him in your life. The elders here, the whole congregation has been thinking about the last few weeks starting a program of public reading where some of us go out in small groups and read the Bible aloud in restaurants and things like that together as a means of attracting people's attention to the Word of God, hopefully starting conversations with them. Along with that, and to facilitate that, we've printed up some bookmarks. These are available on the tables in back, and if you're in one of those groups and you're going out to read publicly somewhere, you can pick up a few of these. They have a scripture verse on one side. It says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, 1 Timothy 4:15 in the English Standard Version. And the other side has information about the Eastside Church and our times of meeting and so on and so forth. So you can just lay these on the restaurant table or wherever you are. Somebody comes up and you have a conversation, you could hand them a bookmark, and they'd have the information about the church and be also encouraged from the Scripture to read the Scripture. So they're available, as I said, on the tables in back. Tonight, as far as the lesson is concerned, I don't really know how to introduce this. In America, one American is shot, stabbed, beaten, or strangled to death every minute. It seems that no matter where you turn in our society or the world as a whole, there's murder out there. And I don't know how many sermons you've heard about murder in your life, but you're about to hear one about murder, about the sin that the Bible describes as murder. It's on television. It's in the movies. It's fiction. It's on the streets, sometimes next door. With a murder rate of 10 out of every 100,000 people in America, your chances of being murdered are far greater than your chances of dying in an airplane crash or an automobile accident. Murder is a horrible crime against God and against one's fellow man. It may be, in one sense, the greatest offense of all, given the enormity of death and what follows it. In our lesson this morning, we mentioned the rich man in Luke chapter 16 who died and he opened up his eyes, he was in torment. I want you to think about murdering somebody who's not prepared for eternity. And the enormity, the consequences of what happens when that person loses their life, when that person loses the last opportunity to make themselves right with God this side of eternity. That's what happens when you take another person's life who is not prepared to meet their God. It's a very serious matter, obviously. The Bible has a lot to say about it. And we'd like to think about some of the things the Bible says tonight. And I believe we'll be able at the end of the lesson to draw some conclusions that will actually be very helpful for us in our day-to-day lives as well. You might be saying, well, Steve, a lesson on murder to this congregation, really? You know, how many murderers are we going to have come forward tonight? Well, we'll see. We may have some. I preached a lesson a number of years ago. It wasn't on murder. But at the end of the lesson, of course, we offered the invitation. The guy came down the aisle. He'd been attending this congregation where I was off and on. His father was a member there. He came forward and we had our discussion on the front pew and he wanted to confess that he murdered somebody. And I mean, he had. He actually murdered more than one person. Later on went to jail for that. Died in prison. So it could happen tonight. Let's see. commandment in the Old Testament is, you shall not murder. Exodus 20 and verse 13. King James, of course, says, thou shalt not kill, and that translation has caused no little bit of confusion over the years, I think. The word in Hebrew specifically means murder and doesn't refer to killing of every kind, because there are killings of some kind that are not murder. Murder can be defined as the premeditated and intentional taking of a human life. So accidental killing doesn't qualify as murder. In Numbers chapter 35, verses 11 through 28, God gave Israel the regulations for the cities of refuge. Most all of you who have been through our Bible classes here know all about the cities of refuge. But they were cities to which someone who had unintentionally or accidentally killed another human being could flee from the avenger of blood so that they might have safety and a fair trial and all of that sort of thing. If you were, in those days, imagine, involved in an automobile accident, of course they didn't have automobiles, but you accidentally killed somebody with your car, and their relatives wanted justice and wanted you to lose your life because you'd killed their relative, then, you know, that's where you would go. And nowadays we understand, all of us understand, that if you accidentally kill somebody with your vehicle, that's not murder. You killed somebody, you've ended a life, but not probably any of us would say, well, that's murder. Capital punishment also in the Bible is not considered to be murder. You're taking someone's life or someone's life is taken, but that's not the sin of murder either. And capital punishment is prescribed in some instances there in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 35. Romans chapter 13 and verse 6, Paul says in the New Testament to Christians about the government bearing the sword, says, because of this you pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. They don't bear the sword in vain. They continually take care of the business of, if need be, putting to death criminals who are worthy of death. And I'll tell you that the sword is an instrument of death. It's not, he didn't say, you know, the government bears the jail cell in vain. He says that they bear the sword. They don't bear the sword in vain. And that's an instrument of execution. So capital punishment, in spite of the Pope's pleas recently, capital punishment is ordained of God when properly executed by the government powers that God has ordained. Killings that take place in the exercise of a just war are not considered or should be classified as murder either. God, at various times in the Old Testament, ordered his people into the battlefield. We'll remember famously that he told Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Not just their soldiers, but everybody. And he had his reasons for doing that. And obviously those that followed the orders of God in that just war would not be condemned for murder. That wasn't the crime of murder. Killings that are the product of self-defense also are not typically classified as murder, either in the Old Testament or even today in our societies. Police officers may kill in the line of duty. Black lives matter. Police officers' lives matter. White lives matter. Everybody's lives matter. But we see that in the news a lot, don't we, where a policeman has killed somebody in the line of duty. Homeowners may feel compelled to kill an intruder to protect home and family. Now I say, and the Bible would say to us, in all of those instances, I think we could show that none of those situations could be described as murder that we've just talked about. These people are not murderers. That is not to say, and let me be very clear about that is not to say that any of these things is necessarily something a Christian should do or want to do. You know, we're living under a new law, as we talked about in a sermon a week ago, the law of Christ. And chief among the laws of Christ is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And one of the very fundamental things that he who rose from the dead told us to do, as we talked about this morning, was to take the gospel to every creature. And I would not personally ever want to take the life of anyone who I had not taken the gospel to. Who did not have an opportunity to obey the Lord. No matter the circumstance. And I know Christians wrangle about this and some come down on one side and some down on the other. And I'm telling you what I believe from a biblical standpoint. Salvation of a person's immortal soul trumps everything. But, killing in self-defense, no, that's not murder. Killing in a war, no, that's not, I don't think that's murder. I don't think a Christian should necessarily do it. But no, that's not murder. So we're not talking about those things tonight. May have another sermon later on all that. Talking about murder. Murder is something that intrudes on God's domain. God controls man's entrance into life and really his exit from it as well. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God gave man life. If you're breathing, it's because God has given you breath. Look at what David thought of the origins of human life as he wrote in Psalm 139, starting in verse 14. He says to God, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as of yet there were none of them. So God plans a human life, and he gives life to the human, and he puts each human in time and space. The days planned for us, even before the days came into being. And I'm not teaching the Calvinist doctrine of predestination. But what I am saying is that God, in his mighty hand and way, forms every human being. And every human being is precious because he is the handiwork of an almighty God. And every human being is precious because he has that immortal soul that will spend eternity somewhere. And we intrude in God's business when we exalt ourselves to take a human life. When we exalt ourselves to murder someone. God controls man's entrance into life, and it is God who should control the exit of man from life. We have to concede that God himself is in control of human life. He is the one who establishes the boundaries across which no man can really cross. Job 14 and verse 5 says, since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Job is saying something there about the extent of human life. And he's giving God the power and control over all of that. In Psalm 104 and verse 29, you hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath. They die and return to their dust. Who takes away their breath? God does. God does. I noticed in a funeral the other day, you can read about great people in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus. You know what it says about every last one of them when they came to the end of their lives? They breathed their last. God took that last breath and that was it. God is the giver. He's the giver of breath, the giver of life. And we must let him alone be the taker of life. When we take it upon ourselves to unjustly take life from another, we've placed ourselves in God's place. When we've tried to assume his position and power, murder intrudes on God's domain and it interrupts human life. A definition of murder, according to Webster's dictionary, is, it's the unlawful and malicious or premeditated killing of one human being by another. That's what murder is. Now, here's how it can be committed. It can be committed by purposely killing another human being, what we might call physical murder. One of the earliest sins that we read about in Scripture in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8 is that Cain killed Abel. He murdered him. It was not a killing that was in self-defense. It was not a killing that was justified in any way. It was done out of envy. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But he murdered his brother. Ever thought about that? You know, when people hear the story of Cain and Abel, you know what the big question is. Where did Cain get his wife? Boy, that's important. Why did Cain kill Abel? What must have been involved in such a horrible crime? A few years ago, when I was preaching out at Oakland, we were having a gospel meeting, and in fact, the preacher was having dinner with us before the meeting that night. And we heard some commotion just a couple of doors down the street, police sirens and whatnot. As we headed out to go to the church building to the meeting, we passed, and sure enough, there were police and ambulance and all sorts of commotion going on there. We later learned that a brother had killed his brother in a very foolish argument with a handgun in that house that night. There's murder out there. In our neighborhood sometimes. And I realize we don't live in Chicago where there are, 100 murders a month or whatever it is. But the purposeful taking of human life, unjustified, does go on around us. And oftentimes it is by those who are quote-unquote loved ones. In fact, if you are murdered by somebody, the chances are best it will be somebody that you know, and probably know very, very well. Think about how somebody must feel about his brother and how mistaken he must be about the very nature of brotherly love and what the Bible calls natural affection. How bereft a person must be of natural affection to commit such a crime. Taking the very life of one who's a brother in the flesh. Cain killed Abel. Murder can be done in other ways. It can be done by committing suicide. When a person's driven to suicide, it's often the result of circumstances that just get out of hand, get out of the person's control they feel. And as someone said long ago, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. But it's no solution at all. Suicide is a particular kind of murder that's very common among teenagers and young adults. And I believe the reason for that is that they are immature and unused to dealing with life's real problems. They don't have experience in that. Maybe they're having problems that they don't think can be overcome. The Word of God assures us that God is able to help us overcome every last one of life's problems and deal with anything that life throws at us. And as a Christian, let our faith be in Him and His power, which is exceedingly great beyond all that we can ask or think. Suicide is obviously sinful. No man has a right to murder another, and no man has a right to murder himself. These things are the right of God Himself, the taking of life. I want to throw another thought in here for you, and this is where maybe some of this will start to come home to some of us. Self-murder, suicide, doesn't have to be an instantaneous thing. A lot of people kill themselves slowly over time, don't they? And in a number of ways. You ever been to the doctor? And the doctor says, if you don't stop doing that, you're going to kill yourself. What's he talking about? Slow motion suicide. If he's right about whatever he's saying, you know what? You need to stop it. You need to stop it. We get asked questions about what's wrong with this habit or that habit, you know, where does the Bible condemn such and such? Might be it condemns it under murder. That might be where it condemns it. There are other kinds of murder. Suicide or murder with a doctor's assistance. Here I'm referring to what's called euthanasia or mercy killing. This form of death has been brought to the public's attention in recent years by the activities of Dr. Jack Kevorkian, known as Dr. Death a few years ago. And through his work, a lot of people lost their lives, had their lives taken from them prematurely by medical treatments that he helped administer. And in some states now, euthanasia is legal and is often done because a person doesn't want to endure pain or doesn't want to have to go through the process of death. So they avoid that. And again, they're intruding on God's domain. And then there's another form of murder that's very common. Abortion, which you might call prenatal murder. According to the Bible, life begins at conception. We saw that really in Psalm 139, didn't we, when David talked about how his life began, being knit together in the womb and all of that. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, Jeremiah says, speaking for God, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And so God, speaking to Jeremiah, talks about knowing him even as he was formed in the womb. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, when Mary and Elizabeth meet, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary and the babe leaped in her womb. Notice not the fetus leaped in her womb. There was a babe in the womb. And that babe is a human life. And when we take that human life, we commit murder. Since abortion on demand was legalized in the United States after the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, 58 million babies have been murdered in our country. 58 million human souls. I'm sometimes asked, especially when politics starts heating up as it is right now, you know, what's the biggest political issue of our time? 58 million. Murdered people. That's what it is. How are you going to vote? You ever get asked that? I'm going to vote for whoever's going to stop the 58 million people getting murdered. Well over 3,000 babies per day are murdered in our society. 3,000 a day. That's more than were killed in the Twin Towers, 9/11. Every day. And America's been all up in arms about happening at the Twin Towers on 9/11 for all of these years. And yet 3,000 American lives are lost every single day. And we don't blink an eye. It's amazing. Murder is motivated by a lot of sinful attitudes. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21 that within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. a lot of evil attitudes and thoughts within us. That's what creates a murderer. That's what motivates someone to commit murder. It's often motivated by such things as covetousness. Jeremiah 22 and verse 17. Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood. And so you see the connection there between covetousness, longing for money or what someone else has, and your willingness to shed innocent blood. And frankly, talking about abortions as we were a minute ago, I mean, there's covetousness all over that. Selfishness. People who don't want to spend the money and personal resources to raise a child. People that are willing to take money for performing the abortion. People that are willing to solicit money for the body parts of the babies who've been killed. There's dollar signs all over that. From beginning to end, it's covetousness. That's what motivates it. Covetousness and selfishness. Anger obviously causes murder. Jesus, you know, in Matthew 5, we were talking about the Sermon on the Mount a little bit this morning. He says, you've heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So Jesus says, you know, the law did say you shouldn't murder, but aren't you really doing the same thing if you're angry at your brother without a cause? Hold that in your mind for just a minute. Think about one other cause or motivation of murder. Isn't jealousy? We were talking about Cain and Abel earlier. What motivated Cain to do what he did? The Bible tells us. 1 John 3 and verse 12. Cain was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. And he couldn't stand the contrast. He was jealous of his brother. Note that Cain was of the wicked one. Murder is characteristic of the devil. Jesus said about the devil in John 8 and verse 44, he was a murderer from the beginning. And people who commit murder are of their father, the devil, just as people who tell lies are of their father, the devil. So, as we sort of wind down the lesson, murderers stand condemned. Does everybody understand that? God hates murder. It's one of six or seven things that are listed that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. Those who commit murder will not enter His kingdom. In Galatians 5 and verse 21, murder is listed among the works of the flesh. Paul says about those, I tell you beforehand, as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In Revelation 21:8, it's the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars who will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's murder out there. But you want to know why it's murder out there? Because there's murder in here. Jesus said, whoever is angry at his brother without a cause, guilty of murder. And John said, 1 John 3 and verse 15, that whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. right here tonight. Do you hate a brother? You don't have eternal life if you do. We can think about all day long, condemn the abortionists, murders that are on the streets of our cities, crime and violence that we see everywhere and everybody else. We sit right here tonight, with hate in our hearts toward a brother in Christ. These things can't be. They must not be. There's murder out there. If looks could kill, and words could wound, I wonder how many people you'd have murdered in your life. And as I said, there's a reason that it's murder out there. Because there's murder in here. Until we get it out, until we let that be handled by God Almighty, meet His conditions for forgiveness and turn that over to Him, and let the blood of Christ wash our hearts clean in His blood, we'll not go to heaven. So I beg you tonight. Yeah, I understand it's highly unlikely that anybody's going to come forward and say, you know, I pulled the trigger on somebody this afternoon. Not going to happen. At least I hope not. But what might happen is that somebody might say, I've got a brother, and I don't feel right about it. And I need God's forgiveness, and I need God's help, so that I won't hate. If that's you, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing the song.